chapter 17, verse 11, in this Thanksgiving celebration, I want to deal with a topic around the subject of gratitude and the importance of gratitude. And has anybody ever dealt with a problem that made you feel isolated or even alone? And you realize that sometimes you have to take a step away from the day-to-day busyness that comes with life to help you to begin to put things back into their proper perspective. And in doing so, you enhance areas of your life that you didn't imagine were possible. And as we're entering the text in Luke chapter 17 and verse 11, we're finding a colony of lepers, because this disease of leprosy was not something that was accepted by the community at large. In fact, if you had leprosy, you were ostracized, you were pushed away. You weren't allowed to be in the in crowd. You weren't allowed to be in any crowd. You were only able to be around others who had the same ailment as you did. Leprosy in the Bible represents and it typifies the human condition, which is known as sin, which happened as a result of the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. And this disease of leprosy, it begins to first decay you from the inside, and then it begins to show on the outside. And so these people were having this condition that was literally eating them alive from the inside, and sent away from their family, sent away from their friends. And they were put in a word that we all don't like to hear after 2020 called quarantine. Yeah, y'all remember that? Boy. Yet they had an opportunity to have a life changed in the midst of being separated from all. I want to talk to you today on how to maximize moments where you feel like you are so unique, you are so to yourself that no one understands. I want to first tell you that, yes, there is someone who understands what you're going through, but I also want to give you a tip to that when you find yourself where you feel like I am by myself, I am alone, that you are in solitude and not in isolation, because the biggest trick of Satan in our mind is to tell us that no one else understands what we're going through. No one else knows my troubles. And in Luke chapter 17, verse 11, it says, as Jesus continued on toward Jerusalem, he reached a border between Galilee and Samaria. And as he entered a village there, 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance, crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And he looked at them and said, "Go show yourself to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, he came back to Jesus shouting, "Praise God." And he fell to the ground at the feet of Jesus, thanking him for what he had done. And this man was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And as Jesus said to the man, "Stand up and go, your faith has healed you." The biblical scholar William Barclay notes that no story in all the Gospels so poignantly shows human ingratitude. The lepers came to Jesus in desperation, and he cured them. And 9 never came back to give thanks. And so often, once people have got what they want from God, they never come back. But we're talking about the other 9. I'm not talking to people who are watching online and in here. I believe that I'm talking to the one in here, which is the title of today's message, that says, "I came back to say thank you." We are here today at this Thanksgiving celebration coming back to simply tell God thank you. And there's power in those two words. There's power in gratitude. There was a Harvard medicine study that showed that gratitude helps people feel more positive emotions, relish the good experiences in their life. It improves their health. It helps you deal with diversity or change, and it helps you to build strong relationships. I kept going even deeper as it relates to the study around gratitude, and Berkeley School of Medicine identified 300 college students that were in search of mental health counseling. And before any of the 300 were able to get their first appointment, they separated the 300 in 3 different groups. The first group was charged while they were going to counseling to write a thank you note to one person in their life for once a week for 3 weeks. The second group was asked to journal and to write out all the negative things and the feelings that they felt with what was going on. And the third group of students that they had just went to mental health counseling alone. And what they were able to conclude, because 300 of those students, they made sure that they were students that were dealing with high levels of depression and anxiety, because typically studies on gratitude are taken by people who say they're doing pretty well. But this group was dealing with people who actually had things going on, and what they were able to see is that they saw that, in fact, it seems like practicing gratitude on top of receiving psychological counseling, it carried greater benefits than just counseling alone. Just being grateful. But we need to take a look at the foundation of gratitude, which is found if we go back to Luke 17 and verse 11 and 12. I'll be back in December, and then I'll be able to do some more series, but when I do one message at one time, what I typically do is I get one text scripture, and we chew on that the duration of the time. Is that all right? All right, let's go back to verse 11. Luke 17, 11, it says that Jesus continued on toward Jerusalem. He reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. He entered the village there, and the 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance. One thing about leprosy is not only were they shunned, but the personal problems that they were dealing with leprosy was that it was damaging their nerves to the point that they were decaying and didn't even notice it. And so again, as I said before, leprosy is a symbol of sin or a symbol of weaknesses or a symbol of our flaws. And if I ask for a show of hands of how many of you in here have at least one flaw? Oh, y'all just going, okay, we honest. I like this. Just one flaw. And with those flaws, if we do not take them to Christ, if we do not submit them to Christ, if we allow them just to continue on, they will cause us to decay our character from the inside, and then people will see what's happening on the inside, on the outside. And so this group of individuals, these group of men were dealing with this serious nature of paralysis. And I want you all to note where it says they stood at a distance. I'll come back a little later to talk about that. But I want you all to understand a truth about gratitude is that gratitude begins with an act of humility. It takes a humble person to simply say thank you, because in our society, we don't have a problem with giving to others. We don't have a problem with giving our last shirt off of our back to make sure that someone is clothed. That doesn't require humility. What requires humility is receiving the last shirt from someone else's back when we need a shirt. And not saying, oh, I'm all right, but saying literally, thank you. Gratitude begins with an act of humility. And so those lepers who were in trouble, they cried out and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Crying is an act of humility. Verse 14. But if you don't have anything to thank God for, thank Jesus for his life. But one thing about the death of Jesus, and this is so powerful with the death of Jesus, is that, yes, those other world leaders, they died too. But none of them got back up. And the blood that they died with is not used to cleanse people from their sin, sickness, and their poverty. So when Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest, he was encapsulating Leviticus 14, verses 1 through 32. He was fulfilling every jot and tittle of the Old Testament. Just for the Bible scholars, that's why here at the Outlet at Briarcliff, we believe in teaching the entire Bible from cover to cover. Now let's keep on going with gratitude. Gratitude now helps keep us present and in the moment. Saying thank you allows us to stay present and in the moment. In verse 15 of Luke 17, it says, one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, praise God. And he fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This was a Samaritan. And Jesus asked, didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other nine? has no one returned to give God glory except this foreigner. There are a few things that I want to bring out in this text here. Number one, this same individual initially stood at a distance from Jesus. And sometimes our weaknesses, sometimes our faults, sometimes our failures cause us to think that God doesn't want anything to do with us because I'm flawed. When in fact, he came because you were flawed. In fact, he loved you in the midst of your flaws. And when that person, and this is what I love about Jesus, that the foreigner and the other nine were healed before they did anything to deserve it. That's called the grace of God. That's called the goodness of God. Has anybody in here, by a show of hands and online, ever received a good gift that you did not deserve? Has anybody ever had God come through for you in a way that you only knew it was God who came through for me? And you know it was one of them times where you said, Lord, if you get me out of this right here, I promise I'm going to serve you all the days of my life. And he came through for you in that moment. And what you were able to experience is different than what religion says. Religion says, get cleaned up and God will do. But God says, I'm going to clean you up so that you can do. Romans 2 and 4, it says, it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance, the changing, the transforming of our mind. And so God was good to those lepers who had society tell them what they were not. And God empowered them and said, I have made you to be like I've created everyone else to be. But there's a bigger significance at work in this text. At the very beginning of this text, in verse 11, it didn't really give us the specifics about the social and geopolitical classes of the men. Because I believe wanted to show us, no matter what side of the tracks that you're from, we all are in need of a savior. And so although where they were born was not the most important fact of the text, what I also know about the text is that the text didn't ignore where they were born. Meaning, we may have all been born in different areas and have different experiences, but the baseline reality that unites us all is that we all are in need of a savior. But the second mandate is that we all need to be sensitive to the plight of others. And this Samaritan was considered the minority and the marginalized. Last thing here, gratitude is the prescription for a healthy heart. Luke 17, 19 says, and Jesus said to the man, stand up and go. Your faith has healed you. As I close today, the holidays are a duplicitous occasion. For some, holidays are a time of extreme celebration, a time of extreme joy. For others, the holidays weigh heavy on you, cause you to feel even more isolated, cause you to think about what is not there. But when we're grateful for the little things, it helps to rebuild our heart and helps us to keep moving in the face of disappointment and sadness and depression and being overwhelmed. We must remain grateful for all that God has done. May we never get to a point where we only go to God for what he can do for us and forget the true gift that comes from God, which is the ability to be with him. We can get so consumed on what's next that we forget to thank God for what he's doing right now. And as we close today, I'm reminded of not only this story where the man was healed of leprosy, but in John chapter 12, there was a woman by the name of Mary who came to the feet of Jesus and washed his feet with what was considered a year's salary. And Judas, being filled with pride and conceit in his heart, criticized the woman who was down at the feet of Jesus, giving all that she had to say thank you. Why was Mary saying thank you? Well, in John chapter 11, when Mary's brother Lazarus was beyond dead, Jesus worked a miracle in her life. And Mary remembered that miracle and just said, Jesus, I have this opportunity to say thank you. I have this opportunity to give you all that I have because you gave me all of who you are. And today, as we close, I want you to go back to that defining moment, miracle in your life. I want you to think about how hopeless life was. I want you to think about how you didn't even know you would be here today, but yet you are. And allow that to be the force that you need to this morning and this afternoon now to say, God, thank you. Can you all join me on your feet today? Before we have a moment of gratitude, I'm going to invite all the deacons and pastors to the front. I want to pray for any individuals in here who just this week have felt heavy, just this week have felt overwhelmed, just this week just didn't know what your next step was. And you say, God, I need you to talk to me because I feel like no one else is. And he used today to share his love with you. And so if you desire prayer, we're going to do this one of two ways. You can either come down to members of the deacons who are down front, or right where you are, you can lift your hand so I know to pray with you at your seat. If that's you and you're saying, I just need God to just touch my life, touch my heart, touch my mind. If that's you, just slip your hand up so I know I'm praying for. I see that hand back there. God bless you. I see that hand right there. God bless you. I see that hand. See those hands. See those hands. If you're watching online and you need prayer, just throw a hands emoji in the chat. And those who are watching, pray over that individual as they're doing that. Right now, as you're praying, people are making decisions to go from death to life. People are making decisions to live. People are making decisions to live out their purpose. People are making decisions to make a change for the better. People are making decisions to allow God to transform their heart and their life. So right now, I pray for every person under the sound of my voice. I thank you, Father, that you're walking with them, that you go before them, that every moment we have, every breath in, we're breathing in your goodness. Every breath out, we're breathing out your grace. And I thank you, Lord. People are making serious decisions for you. They're making serious decisions to change for the better. They're making lines in the sand saying, I'm not going back. God, you've been too good. God, you've been there with me in times where no one else was there. God, I'm going to give you the rest of my life. God, I'm going to give you every breath that I have. And we thank you for these things. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Before we close out today, can we act on what we've read? Can we be those ones who go back to Jesus and say thank you? Can you all just tell God thank you? Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all you've done. Thank you for being the one that sticks closer than a brother. Thank you for being true to your word. Thank you for being a God that would never lie. Thank you for never leaving under any circumstance where you said you would not fail and you never have failed. Thank you, Lord, for always causing us to be victorious. Every time we thought it was going to be over and you made a way out of no way. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Let's do that again. No. I want to thank you all for being here in our joint Thanksgiving celebration. I'm sure that for those who are just meeting my wife and I, you have a plethora of questions and just things that you may want to ask. My wife and I, we're open books, and we'd love to answer any question that you have, and we'll actually set up time in December. So after service, at the Briarcliff service, in December, on December 4th and December 11th, at the end, my wife and I will be up here sitting down answering as many questions as you all want to ask. And one thing that you will learn about us is that we're going to be straight shooters. We're going to be direct. We're going to be down the middle. So if you don't want to know, don't ask. No, but it's an honor. It's going to take us some time to get to know each other. And the most important thing is that we need to know each other by our hearts. And focus on doing kingdom work together. And we'll work through all the things and the preferences and all the fun stuff that we are working through as we speak. So I've got great news. My wife and I will be, down front? We'll be down front if you want to shake our hands. For those who want to go eat, there's Friendsgiving in the fellowship hall, I believe. Are we good to go? We good to go. There's Friendsgiving in the fellowship hall, so we've got some food, some mac and cheese, and some greens, beans. No, I'm kidding. I should have answered the altar call, shouldn't I? And then for those who are just traveling, may you be safe. Outlet, we're going to be online next Sunday. Briarcliff will be here at 11 on Sunday morning. God bless you all. And we also proclaim a blessing as we leave. Could you all stretch your hands? Now unto him who's able to keep you from falling. Shalom, shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken. I declare over your life, this shall be the best week of your life. The favor of God goes before you and opens up doors and opportunities that you've been praying for. May you see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Until we meet again, Lord, keep them safe. Keep watch over them and their families. In Jesus' name, everyone says, amen. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you next time.